Serbia was the biggest and most predatory, spurred on by the most ruthless leader. Slobodan Milosevic truly was a man for all seasons. A socialist turned banker turned nationalist despot and unflinching war criminal. His preference was for a Serb-dominated Yugoslavia. But if he could not have that, he would carve out a greater Serbia at the expense of his neighbors. Hadžić was Milosevic's puppet, but the sort of puppet that belongs in a horror film, a bloodied ventriloquist's dummy. He helped preside over the first large-scale slaughter of innocent civilians in Europe since the Nazi era. From August to November 1991, the early days of Yugoslavia's dismemberment, the Baroque Croatian town of Jukovar, which had sat comfortably by the Danube for centuries, was razed to the ground by Serb artillery. Once the town had fallen, some 300 Croat men and teenage boys, many of them wounded, were taken from a hospital to a nearby farm, where they were beaten and tortured by Serb soldiers and paramilitary volunteers serving with the Yugoslav army. They were driven away at night in trucks, 10 to 20 at a time, taken to a wooded ravine, and executed. Only a handful escaped. In all, 263 men and boys were killed, the youngest aged 16. There was also one woman among the victims. Their bodies were dumped in a mass grave and covered by a bulldozer. In Western capitals, it seemed beyond comprehension that wholesale slaughter was being committed once more in the heart of Europe. In the early 90s, it was a continent preoccupied with harmonizing food safety standards and the many other intricate chores of building a closer union. The dark past, two generations earlier, was buried under layer upon layer of democracy, diplomacy, and bureaucracy, or so it seemed from Brussels. The return of mass murder was deeply shocking. An entire town was pulverized, and its surviving Croats and minorities driven out with the goal of creating a swath of territory that would be home only to Serbs. The process was called ethnic cleansing, a turn of phrase beyond George Orwell's darkest satire. Like all the most effective propaganda, it worked by inversion. It took an act that was inherently dirty and gore-spattered, and made it sound like a salutary rite of purification. It was a cleansing that left a permanent stain on everyone and everything it touched. The purified mini-state was named the Republic of Serbian Krajina, Republika Srpska Krajina, or RSK, and Hadžić became its despot. He was 33 years old, a former warehouse man for an agro-industrial company in Vukovar, who had been a leading light in the local League of Communists in his youth. He was picked for the role of the RSK's warlord because he had made the same ideological swerve to nationalism as Milosevic. He had plenty of ambition and no evident scruples. He was perfect. 20 years on, Hadžić was isolated and abandoned. His realm, the RSK, had been swept away, and Milosevic had been dead for more than 5 years. In an effort to help him make ends meet, one of Hadžić's childhood friends tried to sell a plundered artwork, but the intended favor only helped corner him. It was a painting attributed to the Italian artist Amadeo Modigliani, taken as booty during the Croatian War. The art market was awash with such looted treasure, real and fake, but it was also thick with informers and spies. The French External Intelligence Service, the General Directorate for External Security, Direction Générale de la Sécurité Extérieure, or DGSE, had a particularly strong presence. One of its officers was even given a special award for extended service undercover in the Balkan art world. The French alerted Serbian intelligence, who monitored Hadžić's friend and set a trap. In the wooded hills of Fruška Gora National Park near the Serbian-Croatian border, he was cornered and captured like the last grizzled specimen of a once ferocious breed. The masked policeman turned him toward a camera to capture the moment. Surprise had given way to realization and resentment on Hadžić's hangdog face. By now he was 52 years old. The warrior's beard was gone, leaving a graying mustache and sagging jowls. The only familiar features left from his glory days were the angry eyes and the sneer, which once looked at home with his camouflage fatigues, but now